Blockchain. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You can't deny it. It's a big deal.
It's definitely a big deal. All right. Well, let's jump into this article. This article is 4 data-driven insights to optimize your smart shopping campaigns. We got this off of Search Engine Journal. Smart shopping campaigns and Google ads offer a number of benefits that advertisers find attractive, particularly those trying to manage product promotions at scale. That can be a challenge. It's a format that puts Google's machine learning to work for you. I hear a little feedback on your side, I think. Using your product feed to display ads across the Google Search Network, Google Display Network, YouTube, Gmail, and more. Having machine, like the highlight, I couldn't.
Dude, so the feedback, just so you know, is my caffeinated drink that was bubbling near my very powerful microphone.
Oh, interesting. That is a little. that is not the technical answer I was expecting, if I'm honest. Having machine learning do the heavy lifting has potential downsides. Smart shopping can be something of a data black box for marketers. Once you better understand the inputs and outputs of that black box, you can tinker with the input more effectively. In this article, you're going to learn how to do just that. So smart shopping is really powerful. Yeah, you wanted to add something?
Well, so, you know, for those of you that are logging into Google or Facebook, you know that they're constantly changing things, and they've really started to change the format of what kind of ads you can do. You can't do a lot more static ads. They want you to basically provide a bunch of different ad components, and they're going to find the best combination. And then there's like considerations like your brand logo might need to be on the image because it might not show up because all your text might not have that, and the different kind of formats. But we've been doing a lot of campaigns. Like I have a client right now and it's like 48 stores and we're running in each geographic area. And it's like, well, I'm hearing the feedback now. Sorry. So you hear the feedback?
I felt it went away with the removal of the can. But again, that surprised me significantly.
Maybe I'm getting other feedback. But if you're going to run thing on a campaign level versus a regional level versus a national level, and you're going to track stuff, you know, making sure that each, say, store location gets the right amount of ad dollars, you can't leverage the machine learning as well, right? Because you don't have as much data to put into it. Right.
Right.
And so there's a lot of things to consider spend wise, how much reach how many people are going to see it to determine how to best use the machine learning. So there's certain times when you want to use it. And then there's certain times when, maybe a custom audience or a lookalike audience or really you want to just maybe focus a little bit better on targeting. But again, it's like another tool in the tool belt. But the machine learning is awesome and powerful. If you spend enough money and you kind of spend at the certain thresholds, we brought a cost per store visit when we started with the client about 8 months ago from over $60 to under $5, Chris.
Wow.
And that's a lot. That, I mean, there was other things that we were doing, but also machine learning had certainly a big part of that. So yeah.
Let it do its job.
Yeah.
All right. Before we jumped into this, and I'm getting a little bit of feedback still, but do you have another window open or something? Let's talk about different types of data. So the three types of data talking about in this article is Google data. And that's data you get back from Google. That's conversions. It's costs. It's impressions. And then company data. And this is going to be more specific to your company, the particular products. That's the KPIs you want to focus on. It's insights such as margins, how much stock do you have? Because obviously you don't want to run ads on something that you're going out of stock. And then, of course, all sorts of customer data. And then finally, you've got competition data. This is data about what is happening in your market. You know, a good example of this would be like SEMrush data. That type of data is the kind
or
of
Ahrefs data.
Also Ahrefs data. Now, I don't know if that's included in the free AWT, but at least on the paid version, you absolutely have amazing competitive data about again, your competition. That felt redundant. Four examples on how turning data to insights can give you a head start. And again, this is with your smart shopping campaigns. Number one, and they call this POAS. So we're familiar with ROAS, right? R-O-A-S, return on ad spend. And they created something called PAS or POAS, which is profit on ad spend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could also call this ROI. Like that's what you could call this. More and more advertisers are now using POAS, again, profit on ad spend. Understand profit by combining Google data, that's the cost data of the ads, with company data, that's the margins data. And they went into some particular details about a situation where really the ROI, the focus on the ROI is significantly better than the focus on the ROAS. And in their example, they've got really it's a name brand purse, and then they've got a purse that they actually manufacture. Well, the margins are typically much higher when it's your own brand versus a brand that you're just selling. And the reality in this example is that from a return on ad spend, they ended up with about a 755% ROAS, again, return on ad spend, for the branded bag. For their custom bag or for the in-house bag, they only had a 400% return on ad spend. And remember, return on ad spend is how much did I spend and how much revenue did I generate? And then when you broke out POAS, again, profit on ad spend, the branded bag only had like a 69%, and the actual custom bag, the in-house bag, had 137. So you can imagine you may not be generating as much revenue, which could potentially give you a bad ROAS, but if you're making a lot more profit, then you're going to go with the ROI or the POAS. Hopefully I explained that well. You're muted, I think. It happened to me too earlier.
I did it because you said the feedback, right?
Oh, so, okay.
But no, I pulled it up, a little bonus for those that are watching. And, you know, I know a lot of people that are listening, right, to us, like the majority of people listen to us. But you know what I've started to do, Chris? Like, I know this is a total tangent, but I paid for like the YouTube whatever where there's no ads. And then I can do everything on YouTube. I can do videos, music, movies, whatever. And so I've started to listen to podcasts too. And then, you know, someone can pull up a little diagram like this and you can see it. And then you can go back to doing whatever you're doing. So just saying.
In my case, I have so many tabs that are open. I have to like go find the tab where the YouTube video is playing and going, oh, okay, I see that. ROAS, POAS. Okay, I get it.
You taught me about this, the little down arrow that you can just scroll all the way down and see what it is. Like that is a game changer. And I've also started it. Well, I have three screens. Well, I have four screens, but I have a screen up top now that I like pin stuff to. So I don't get lost as much. So that's been helpful.
But yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, so back to the article.
Yeah. So it just makes sense. And really we've been talking about this forever and a day, which is, you know, we like to ask the question, what do you sell the most and what makes you the most profit? Right. Because they may be very different and you don't want to lose the sales or the revenue generated from the thing you sell the most, but you do want to have a significant focus on the things that actually make you the most money. And we've been saying that, you know, since the dawn of this podcast, which is, you know, a long time. All right. Number two, cross sell and upsell insights.
Chris, we're going to have to make a like compilation video for you. Like, we did the, you know, 10 year anniversary.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to see how well you've aged, like wine, I'm sure, you know, like, I think you probably look very similar to that, how you looked. Would you agree with that or disagree? Would your wife agree with that?
I think it's similar. Yeah. It's probably,
I mean,
similar.
You still look like,
like a 19 year old. I know. No.
60, right?
All right. So advertising on product. Like this is the, what are we talking about? I got lost here. Cross sell and upsell insights.
Yes, cross sell and upsell.
So when you're talking about advertising on product A, it is also possible that in addition to selling product A, you also sell product B, or actually do not sell product A at all, but only sell product C. So you want to be able to track those ad campaigns from the point where you actually have the click through into what actual revenue is created, right? And we're talking about ROI. Product C can have a very different margin than product A. So again, back to actual profit. And the upsell to product B may also be interesting from a margin technical point of view. And one of the things that we haven't shared yet is this article is sponsored by AdChieve, and they're really kind of promoting the value of seeing this specific data as it relates to smart shopping with AdChieve.
So what is your connection to AdChieve? I mean, this is promotion on top of promotion.
Yeah. Well, they
got a good article. Like,
yeah.
And we're not hating on anything. Like, it's a great article and we want to promote it. We have no connection to AdChieve.
Yeah. They just have this good article and it's good to be thinking about Google Smart Shopping and how you can manipulate that kind of black box experience that you have. All right. Number three, the effect of your price on rankings. So it's not surprising that how you price your product, certainly everybody's aware of this in Amazon, you can sort by price, lowest to highest or highest to lowest. And so what these guys did was focus and pull a bunch of data on, hey, here's a product and we're going to put it on Google and we're going to use smart shopping and we're going to price it between 7 and 15% lower than the average price for that product, and then 7 to 1% lower than the average product, and then right in the range of minus 1% to plus 1%. I'm just kind of defining these data points, and then 1 to 7%, and then 7 to 15%. And they collected data in all these categories. You could imagine the difference in price would adjust how many clicks. And there, Matt has the data on the screen for us. Maybe zoom in on that. And so as they adjust the price, the lower price gets a lot more clicks, right? And a lot more impressions, and then ultimately a lot more clicks. And what I found, which is interesting, and again, this goes back to staying focused on ROI. If you scroll to the next one, it isn't exactly the same in terms of conversion rates. So it's possible that you might have a higher price, which would result in less impressions, but ultimately a higher conversion rate, or at least a conversion rate on products that ultimately give you a higher ROI. So you really want to be breaking down this data on an ROI basis.
So Chris, this kind of reminds me almost back to like some business coaching that you were doing a while back.
Yeah.
That was a lot. I keep hearing this feedback. Sorry. But it talks about, well, you know, at a certain price, you're getting to a certain result. And then if you raise your price by whatever it was, you want 15% of your prospects to say it's too expensive, but you're basically for the same amount of work, or for less work, you're getting paid the same amount, right? And so this is, I think, a loose analogy to that of basically there's like a sweet spot that you're trying to find on how much you should be charging versus what you're getting back in return, right? Or
yeah,
I don't know, maybe I butchered that pretty bad, but in my head, it made sense.
No, I mean, there's some really good points in that, right? So, I do like the concept and the numbers 30%. If 30% of your customers aren't saying no because of price, you're probably too inexpensive, right? At some point, you want to be kind of maximizing profitability so that you've got a profitable business. And what that ultimately will mean is that some people are going to say no because the price is too high. So that 30% is very interesting. The other one, and I was trying to pull something up, which is, I think it's typical that you can raise your price 30%. And if you lose 50% of your customers, you're still at the same profit margin. I don't remember exactly what it is, and I'm not going to do it on the fly. But there's a surprising ratio where you can raise your price a certain level, and you actually have to lose a whole lot of customers to reduce your income. And what you end up doing is the same income, less work, and better customers.
Yeah. All I could think about was something called a public math that I was watching a podcast, and people wouldn't do public math. but no, I don't know. I think that this kind of highlights that you really need to be thinking about not just two-dimensionally, hey, we're going to spend this, we're going to get this, right? There's different factors at play. I mean, we're not even talking about the perception of your price. Like sometimes if you price something too low or too high, people will associate with value, right? Like there's different things that factor in when you're making these kind of determinations. And I just love being able to look at data and reading into that to see like what it's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And our fourth point here is really entirely about AdChieve. So it's talking about the insights that the software AdChieve could provide based on like keyword insights. So based on the keywords, and you do get this data because it is Google Ads, so that you know the actual keywords that are being used, you can understand the effect of the keywords on, so to guide you to adjust your ROAS, your return return on ad spend, changes in your pricing proposition, the effects of improvement in your product scores, right? So you want to be improving the product scores so Google understands that customers like the product, the adjustment of the titles, and the impact of newly added products on your rankings, right? So other people adding products, how are those going to affect your rankings? And ultimately, how is that going to affect your ROI? And he had actually a really good summary of this, and it's success factors for managing campaigns differently. And we've been talking about this. This is really almost at the, well, really at the enterprise level. Step one, get clear on your business objectives. Like we've talked about this, you know, ad nauseum. I love the phrase, which is if you don't know where you're going, you're probably already there. Right. And if you don't want to be where you are, then you got to have a target for where you're going. What are your business objectives? And make sure you get clear about those.
I have absolutely never heard that phrase said that way.
Oh, yeah.
But I like it. It works.
Right. Yeah. If you don't know where you're going, you're probably already there. So get clear on your business objectives. Never just throw money against the wall and see if it sticks. Make sure you've got, I like the phrase, there's test and measure. I actually like measure and test, which means you got to know what you're going to measure before you start to. So before you even, again, start throwing money at the wall, know what is it that you're going to be measuring so that you actually have a plan.
Yeah.
Understand that these marketing decisions that you're making, in this case, like smart shopping, it transcends the marketing department. And we've talked about this in probably the last five podcasts where we're talking, hey, this is the confluence of all the departments in your organization. It's, hey, you know, how much inventory do you have? It's what pricing structure works the best. It's how do we reach out to the customers? Where do we find them? All of those have to work together. It's the IT department. We did a whole podcast just from your article on speed, Matt. Like all of these things have to work together well in order for you to have a successful campaign. Be open to experimentation and learning, and then not just taking directions, right? And I know that with some of the campaigns you're managing right now, there can be some challenges about like, hey, we just want to do this. And you're like, that may not be the right decision because of other factors. And you've got to have still this holistic view. Put everything into practice with the right software. Of course, they're going to mention that. And we know software is incredibly important. It gives you amazing insights. Make sure you go check out AWT Ahrefs Webmaster Tools. And I think that we have the link, and that link is ahrefs.com/AWT.
There you go.
Do you have anything to like summarize this?
Well, I really do like this article because they added some true value and some true gems as well as data to what they were talking about. And it went in depth and it really outlined some stuff. And I really love it when you read articles and you're like getting something that you can take away from it. And it's not just bare bones or it's like rehashed or something like that. But I think a lot of the tips that they're sharing are true words of wisdom that you should really consider. And a lot of these things, it's like you just got to figure out what you're wanting to measure. Man, I'm getting feedback. This is so annoying. I thought this mic would fix everything.
It's not too bad on our end. I know you're probably getting it. Just trying to ignore it.
We'll just see how, hopefully when it like, you know, wraps it all together, hopefully it's pretty good. But I think there's a lot of software out there that helps you get helpful insights. And it certainly sounds like this tool does that. But really measuring, like you said, and then testing. So you got to know what your business objectives are. You know, you got to know what the campaign objectives are. And you got to know, how do we track this where the data is clean, right? And so getting the analytics set up is completely important. What are the goals? What are you trying to do? How does it roll up into the bigger business situation? These are all very, very important things. And to just sum all this up, I guess, I would sum it up with a somewhat of a testimonial for you, Chris. So we have a longtime podcast listener that's been listening to the podcast
approximately 10 years.
For 10 years. And he's been a client for going on, I think, 4 years. He's an enterprise level client. And he liked what we were doing so much. He was learning so much from our team. He put in his official notice yesterday, and he will be joining the team as one of our account managers starting in January.
Yay! Yes, for it's pretty exciting. I had lots of conversations with him over some good period of time, and then when you kind of joined and took the helm, you know, you started having good conversations with him and have been working with him. Would you say like two years now or something?
Four
years. Wow, time gone fast. And what a great, you know, one of the things, and I share this with you, Matt, is when you've got a customer who's great at marketing, right? It's harder to deliver, right? Yeah. Like, it's not harder for us because that's what we do, but you're held to a standard that a lot of companies can't survive. And then when that same person who's got great skills is like, hey, yeah, I think I would like to join your team. It says a lot about his understanding and the quality of work that's being delivered to him and his team at that position. It's just a phenomenal result. And so happy to have him join in the team.
Yeah. So I thought that was a good summary.
All right. Well, this has been podcast number 528. 528. That's pretty amazing. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. If you did get some value out of this, one, we've talked about, hey, there's, you know, some video elements to it now. Go check it out on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit that notification bell. Smash it. Do whatever you got to do so that you can get notifications of when we launch our next podcast. And please go to ewrdigital.com/review. And that'll take you to the review site. And we really appreciate all of you all. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now.